fallout from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 6. Obi-Wan is getting very good at looking placidly back at the teachers who frown at him when he passes them as he leaves class. If he frowns back or scowls or rolls his eyes, they mutter that he is too emotional, that his master has a bad effect on his temper, that perhaps he should have gone to the AgriCorps. So placid, calm and still as a pond, and just as unreadable. Everything he is not feeling at the moment. Every morning Obi-Wan reads a poem when he wakes up. He reads two, actually. He's studying the Mandalorian poetry first, but it's the Alderaani epics he discusses with his master. He wants to try and understand Mandalore and therefore his master a little better first. They share breakfast, wherein he and his master discuss meaning and turns of phrase and depth. And Anakin has evolved from a fruit thief to a syrup hound. And Master Ben reads off the list of challenges for the day, making note of any he thinks his Padawan should find especially interesting. Today, Master Qui-Gon Jinn had been on the list, and Master Ben had felt very agitated about that. Obi-Wan had hidden his own frown and hurt, because why should Jinn fight Ben now, when he had so soundly rejected having anything to do with Obi-Wan before? When Obi-Wan had asked, had all but begged to be his Padawan. So Master Ben is agitated, and so Obi-Wan is agitated. It doesn't help that he is no longer so exhausted at the end of each day, and that his dreams are still so turbulent and dark. His master can't work with him as long, with the constant endless stream of challengers, and so the pace of his training has been greatly reduced. On the other hand, his performance in his classes is improving. Astro-navigation especially, which is time-consuming and tedious, if simple. He often spends some of the less interesting bouts studying his star charts. He's all but bouncing in his seat by the time he's released for his second-class gap, ducking placid-faced under his instructor's frown. Master Ben had chosen the timing of his bout with Jinn to match up with Obi-Wan's schedule, but also, the Padawan thinks, to keep it more private. This early in the day, and most Padawans and younger knights were busy, and the audience would be much smaller, even if rumor did get around that Master Nasadeh was facing one of the best duelists in the Order. Obi-Wan expects it to be a long one, not just because Jinn is reportedly so good, but because his master seemed particularly displeased. And when Master Ben was displeased, he made rather a long point about it. Endless repetitions of Shi Cho, leading Pong Krell about the sal by the nose, a three-hour-long meditation while he attempted to wait out Master Yoda's patience. He did not, in fact, wait out Master Yoda's patience. There are a dozen or so masters and a dozen more elders in attendance, a few senior Padawans, and only a handful of knights when Obi-Wan arrives. Master Ben is already on the floor, in a sleeveless tunic of red and orange layers. To be fair, half the Jedi are in sleeveless tunics today. Something has malfunctioned in the atmosphere systems, and it's rather warm and humid in the temple. Warm, Obi-Wan's master has no trouble with. Humid, on the other hand, seems to test his serenity. The sleeveless tunic reveals, among others, the deep lightsaber scar on his bicep, which can be mistaken for nothing else. Obi-Wan can feel the speculation its existence creates. He doesn't focus on it, or on the knowledge that his master bears several such scars. Master Qui-Gon Jinn, on the other hand, seems less troubled, in traditional beiges and browns, standing meditatively while Master Ben waits for his Padawan. Obi-Wan receives a quick, tight smile from his master, and Master Qui-Gon opens his eyes, regarding them both and then focusing on Nasadeh as Obi-Wan takes a seat. Master Nasadeh offers his typical saber salute, and Qui-Gon Jinn lunges. Obi-Wan was wrong. It's not a long spar. In fact, it's practically over just as soon as it seemed to fall into place. Master Nasadeh does not draw Jinn out, does not lead him across the sal. He destroys him. Master Ben breaks through Jinn's guards and defenses with overwhelming force. falling fast and brutal and disarming him viciously. Obi-Wan flinches as the other Jedi's saber clatters across the floor and rolls to Obi-Wan's feet. He doesn't pick it up, gaping instead at his master. Ben turns sharply away from his shocked opponent, who is on his knees with a copper blade leveled just at the hollow of his throat, and looks back to Obi-Wan, saber blinking out. "Time for our lesson, Padawan?" he inquires, striding away from Jin, who looks both alarmed and shaken. Obi-Wan glances between the two, closes his mouth, and nods. They leave, the saber still lying on the floor where it landed by Obi-Wan's feet. Obi-Wan has 1,000 questions he doesn't ask, and through the fragile bond between them he can feel something like grief pouring out of his master.
"Something troubling you, Master T?"
Plo Koon inquires, voice slightly amused. And the younger master grimaces in embarrassment, realizing that she had sighed deeply yet again, disturbing him from the quiet peace of the gardens.
"Yoda says that good teachers students make," Shakti murmurs. "He doesn't tell you that sometimes you have to learn something from them before they can learn anything from you. He doesn't tell you that sometimes you don't know what it is you need to be learning."
Plo chuckles at her.
"The vexation of Padawans. Sometimes the master chooses the student. Sometimes the student must choose the master."
"And sometimes the force just wields it," Shakti adds dryly.
"Perhaps,"
Plo nods.
"But if all things were simply as the force willed it, there would be no need for Jedi."
Shakti peers at him for that bit of philosophy, unexpected as it was.
"Do you believe so?"
He looks back at her, his presence in the force shifting like clouds. You could see it, but you could never quite reach out and touch it.
"No,"
he says, surprising her further.
"Balance is not always kind, little hunter. There would always be a need for Jedi and a reason for us to act."
Shakti frowns.
"Balance is peace," she replied, as the temple taught.
"Then balance is impossible,"
he says slowly.
"Peace is a state of being, but it is not life."
"Master Kun," Shak protests, and he raises a passive hand.
"You are a huntress, Master T. You are beautiful, yes, but it is not all you are. And it never can be, can it?"
he asks calmly, as settled and solid as the tree behind him. Shakti searches within herself, though her heart already knows he has spoken the truth. She is a Jedi. She sought peace and prosperity and justice. And yet she was a Togruta of Shili. She earned her womanhood in the hunt, and it has shaped her into who she is today.
"No," she replies.
"It's my life!"
a youngling shrieks. And both masters startle at the shrill sound, shock wincing deeply. She moves to rise, but glances at Master Kun, who merely waves her on to do as she pleases, content to let their conversation lie. She moves quietly through the gardens, tracking out the argument she can hear ahead.
"You can't just not be a Jedi,"
another youngling argues angrily.
"It's not fair."
"How is it fair if I don't want to be a Jedi?"
the first youngling replies, a Zeltron boy with petal-pink skin and ink-black hair.
"How can you not?"
the second youngling, a Rodian girl, shoots back.
"Ban, it is a great privilege to be raised in the temple," a Crash Master says, sighing, "and an honor to be chosen as a Padawan."
"But I don't want to be his Padawan! I don't want to be a Jedi!"
Ban shouts, leaking distress into the Force.
"You're strong in the Force, a good student, and an apt combatant. You've even expressed great delight at lightsaber combat," the Crash Master implores. "You would throw it all away? That is not sensible. I do not think you understand."
"I do! I do understand!"
the boy protests.
"And I don't want it! I want to be able to feel emotions! I want to dance! I want to make people happy, and I'm good at that too!"
"You're giving up knighthood because you like to waltz around the dorms?"
the Rodian girl spits.
"That's stupid!"
"Initiate, Rihu," the Crash Master scolds, and then turns back to Ban. "Ban, the way of the Jedi is not easy, and I'm sure you think you know what you want, but..."
Shakti watches the boy's face crumple, watches his distress churn into despair and loneliness, And in her mind's eye, she can see it, a glimpse of his future. He's a magnificent knight, with a green blade in hand, deflecting blaster bolts with grace. And then he is sitting in the gardens, this very garden. And he looks around, and his eyes... there is hopelessness in his eyes. He is brilliant, strong, and he is unhappy, trapped. And there is a thought on his mind, a singular. Surely death is no different than this. Shakti blinks, eyes burning. And he is a little boy, and he is seeing that future for himself at this very moment.
There are a thousand ways to be enslaved,
Shmeed whispered. Kreshmaster, Shakti calls, stepping forward, and the three in the argument jolt at her sudden appearance from the tall ferns. Shakti will admit that the huntress in her enjoys it just a bit.
Master T,
the Kreshmaster bows, seeming flustered. I apologize for our noise if we disturbed you.
It is not that,
Shakti assures them.
May I borrow Initiate Ban?
She inquires. The Zeltron boy winces and covers it poorly, fingers curling into his tunics, but the Kreshmaster nods. He sullenly follows her away from the others, and she leads him out of the gardens. The corridor is quiet, and it is not quite midday.
Is dancing an enjoyment or a career path?
Initiate Ban, Shakti inquires, once the boys stopped hunching so tightly, relaxing as they walked, soothed by her calm in the natural way of empaths.
I saw a hollow of the water dancers of Shangri-La, he says shyly, and I've practiced all 12 Aldarani high waltzes. And have you seen the Rylothi Ballet? I'm a good dancer, but I want to be that good, and I can be, I know I can be. That's what I want to do with my life. I like being a Jedi, but I love dancing. It's so full of life. And it makes people happy. And I want people to be happy.
The boy sighs, sounding defeated. And Shakti reaches out to brush her fingers through his hair. He looks up shyly, surprised.
Well, Shakti says, you can't just run off and join the Rylothi Ballet.
He slumps. However, she smiles secretively,
what you can do is look up accredited dance programs here on Coruscant and see if we can't find any that suit you.
Really?
He asks, gaze full of hope.
Really, Shakti says softly, chest aching. You are free, Ban, to choose the path your life will take. Just do so wisely.
But I was asked by a knight to become his Padawan,
the initiate blurts.
And you have the right to say no, Shakti says firmly.
I can really choose to dance,
he asks tremulously.
Really? Shakti nods. Provided we can get you qualified for any of the dance programs and provided that you still finish your education. On that matter, the Jedi will not budge.
Of course, right. I know that. I can go to dance school.
He bounces, his excitement flooding the hallway, bright as sunshine. Shmi finds her later, after she has spent an entire afternoon downloading brochures and applications with a very energetic young empath. Her mantras are still buzzing with the sheer force wrapped up in all his energy. She makes a note to see to it that if he leaves the temple for a dance program, he continues to study with an Edgecore tutor on how to utilize those force abilities safely in his chosen path. Still, Shakti feels lighter than she has in weeks when Shmi approaches her after the dinner hour, Anakin soundly asleep on her shoulder. They walk in companionable silence for a while, working their way towards their living sectors via the scenic route of the gardens. Shmi takes in a deliberate breath.
Kai,
she says softly, and Shakti looks to her curiously and Shmi smiles. She doesn't have her son's sweet looks, but in the shadows of evening, and revealing her own face, there is something far more precious about Shmi's fragile smile.
It means yes, in the language of our people.
Shakti misses a step and pauses. Shmi watches her, eyes ever sharp. Shakti lifts a hand to her heart and then her lips.
Then I'm honored to claim you as my Padawan, Shmi Akref.
And I am honored to walk this path with you. Marat Shakti-Jidan.
Shmi returns the gesture and reaches out to grasp Shakti's hand.
Marat?
Shak asks, lacing her orange fingers into Shmi's pale ones, able to parse Jidan to mean something akin to of the Jedi.
It means one who protects and guides, Shmi smiles. Inamataka.
Shakti snorts softly through her nose, having the feeling that there is a grand question as to who will be guiding whom. For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Blue_Sunshine. Music is Lonely Desert by Emily of Roll for Fantasy. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other ways to support me, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.